This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
Get something shocking in your ear every Tuesday night at 10 on Joy 94.9. Join us. Join us. Join us. Join us. Join us. Join us.
Dr. Bentham, he's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Lyra Kasha. I appreciate that. I wanted him to be the perfect man. Doesn't he look like a young Gregory Peck mixed with a young Mike Brady?
I really like his broad shoulders and his lean, muscular frame. I love science.
You know, we both spend a lot of time in the lab, so I wanted to build the perfect philosopher, part genius, and total geek. He is a true genetic and geektacular wonderment.
You should be very proud, Dr. Bentham. His chumescence is quite impressive.
Okay. Well, Lyra Kasha, I have to say that from the inside out, our geeky genetic creation is pure perfection.
It's a good thing we know how to share, Dr. Bentham.
Well, that's true.
Geek genetics.
Hello.
Hi. The challenge is to show you that she's a robot and then see if you still feel she has consciousness.
Have you never been outside this building?
We could go together.
Did you program her to flirt with me?
Maybe she's pretending to like you.
Well, why would she do that?
Do you think I might be switched off?
It's not up to me.
Why is it up to anyone?
This is Michael and Peter Spierig.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Madeline Olmec. I'm the director of the Foxy Merkins, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lamberg. You might know me as a lesbian cannibal, or sometimes a delusional life-drawing model, or perhaps a neurotic people pleaser. That's right, I'm an actor and director, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Matthew A. Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, with a special review of a film that certainly has taken my imagination, made me think a lot, and rather deeply, about artificial intelligence, for one thing, as a topic, as a theme. It's Ex Machina, or Ex Machina, or Machina, or Machina. Depends how you look at machine. I will call it Ex Machina for the purpose of this special film review podcast. It is out May the 7th. It's all released all over the place. Well, not really. In fact, only exclusively at this point at Nova Cinema in Carlton here in Melbourne Town in Australia. The Land of Oz doesn't seem so keen on a twisty kind of thriller with sci-fi themes, or real science themes and technology themes, in fact. In any case, it's out on Thursday, May the 7th. Of course, that's pretty much now. By the time you hear this podcast, here on the Sci-Fi and Scream podcast page. Now, this film's been described by New Scientist as a rare thing. They say it is a rare thing to see a movie that about science that takes no prisoners intellectually. They describe it as a stylish, spare, and cerebral psycho-techno-thriller, which gives a much-needed shot in the arm for smart sci-fi. And that's according to IGN reviewer Chris Tilley, who also gave the movie a 9 out of 10. Pretty amazing to score something that high. Yes, it's the debut from Alex Garland, and it's been called essential viewing for anyone who has a passing, even just a minute interest in where technology might be taking us, and already has in many, many cases. So let's look at this film that I hope turns on a lot of people looking into technology, AI, and our relationship to robots and artificial intelligence, etc. Androids, mechanoids, well, maybe not so much mechanoids, but whatever you like to call those that are not born of woman. Woman born, those that are born from science labs, industrial technology, microchips, those things that look humanoid that will begin to shape our future, perhaps. In fact, more than likely. Designs. Ex Machina is all about designs. Now, this film was out by Universal Pictures International, Film 4, and DNA Films. It stars the amazing red-haired Domhnall Gleeson, Alicia Vikander, Sonoya Mizuno, and the fabulous Oscar Isaac. It's written and directed, as I mentioned, by Alex Garland, produced by Andrew McDonald and Alon Reich, executive producers Scott Rudin and Eli Bush. We've got some women there as producers, three of them. Tessa Ross as executive producer, line producer is Carolyn Levy, associate producer Joanne Smith, director of photography, DPO, Rob Hardy, editor. Mike Day. Now that's just some of the obvious main credits to this film. The music, of course, is amazing. It's by Ben Salisbury and Jeff Barrow. And sound designer Glenn Fremantle. Visual effects by producer Tim Field. There are many other people involved in this film. We can't all include them in this podcast, sadly. But in any case, what is it about? Well, firstly, let's look at Alex Garland's background. He is the acclaimed writer and director of 28 Days Later, and he also worked on 28 Weeks Later. Sunshine as well. DNA Films themselves have got a history of making peculiar films, peculiar in a good way. They have that sort of essence and sensibility of sparseness, philosophical ideas, technology, and emotionalism. And certainly a film that came out not so long ago starring the amazing Carey Mulligan and also had Domhnall Gleeson in it. He appears in it. He is Never Let Me Go. Now, of course, Never Let Me Go was quite a groundbreaker, I believe. It sadly was underrated and didn't get very much in the way of what we would call, you know, basically attention by being in cinemas everywhere. It should have been. I was amazed how moved I was by these clones. But I won't ruin it for you. If you've never seen Never Let Me Go with Andrew Garfield, pre-Spider-Man disaster movies, you need to see it. Yes, it's worth the watch. Of course, based on Kazuo Ishiguro. Now, he's thanked in this film, this DNA movie, of course, Ex Machina. So the influences are there right from the start for Alex Garland. As I said, Domhnall Gleeson has been in previous DNA films. It's described as an intense psychological thriller. It's a love triangle, perhaps. Not sure if love is there. Who knows? But it's all about exploring what is AI, what is artificial intelligence, and the Turing test, which was designed by Alan Turing to see if machines, which he could see in the 1940s and 50s, he could see that machines, in fact, the ones that they were making to bust codes, of course, the great code busters, as they were, the early computer prototypes he was making back then in England, he could see that one day they could change and evolve into things made by human hand that may, in fact, be able to have consciousness. And if so, how could you test it? How could you tell if it was mimicking or copying or just repeating what it had seen or observed? And how could that be transmitted or transmuted into actual real consciousness, into understanding and actually, yes, feeling, really thinking about something and having answers that weren't just a copy? So yes, that's the Turing test, to put it mildly and very, very basically. This film is pretty much looking at what is consciousness. So there it is. The philosophy is out of the bag, or out of the microchip. It's about a young bloke, Caleb, played by Domhnall Gleeson, who is a coder working at a suspiciously very large internet company. I wonder what that's based on, called Blue Book. Wonder what that's based on. But it's a sort of amalgam of many different Silicon Valley types of, I guess, giant national companies, multinationals and so on. Anyway, he wins some sort of competition. We don't know much about it, but there he is in his call center and his whatever it is, his pod, working away with his several different computer screens, and suddenly he wins a prize. It pops up on the screen, everyone's congratulating him, and he's whisked off in a helicopter to some very remote, secluded place. It could be Canada. It could be, I don't know, Wyoming. But anyway, it's all forest and trees and tall grass and rivers and a stream, and it's very secluded. It's a remote location where his CEO, the very reclusive CEO played by Oscar Isaacs, resides, experimenting away in what is a cross between a recluse's, hermit's, I guess, penthouse in the middle of nowhere, crossed with a lab and science and technology is so infused inside the building. It's beautiful architecture. Not sure who the architect is for the set itself. The production design is amazing, but I believe it was filmed in Norway, so it's got that Scandinavian sense about it. Now, he goes along with that. He arrives very excited and nervous and shy. He's a very shy, withdrawn geek sort of bloke. Of course, he meets Oscar Isaacs, who is the boss. It's an interesting dynamic. They're not going to be friends, that's for sure, spoiler. But at the same time, they're not unfamiliar to each other, if that makes sense. It's almost like Domhnall Gleeson's character, Caleb, could have been a younger, much younger version of Oscar Isaacs. Now, Oscar Isaacs is going to be with Domhnall. I'm just segueing here to The Force Awakens, which we have to wait till December 18th to see. Number 7 in the Star Wars verse, he will be an X-Wing pilot. That's all we know, pretty much, so far. The interesting thing about this film, of course, Oscar Isaac's character is called Nathan Bateman. I wonder if that's gives you a sort of indication of where the story might be going. Bateman, hint, hint, American Psycho character. So he is a bit of an alcoholic, it seems, that he's quite big on, say, being isolated, alone, it seems. Well, we think he's alone. Doing his sort of almost mad techno-scientist things and whatever he's inventing. But we soon find out Domhnall Gleeson has to sign a release form where he will never in any way inform of social media or any way of contact ever talk about what he's about to experience. He has 7 days at this retreat, which is, yes, actually is filmed in Norway, Valdalen, a place called Valdalen. It's pretty amazing. But in this far out retreat, this beautiful looking place, he has to completely sign over his rights to talk about this impending invention that's going to be revealed to him, this revelation. And the revelation takes form of Ava, the AI. Ava, A-V-A. Yes, there's lots of symbolism in there too. A little bit heavy on the symbolism, perhaps, maybe. But that's played by the amazing Alicia Vikander. Of course, we'll be seeing a lot more of her, definitely. She is Swedish. She's a ballet dancer by origin from Gothenburg, of course, in Sweden. Interestingly enough, she's already going to be in some very interesting films, including she appeared in Anna Karenina, the Danish film A Royal Affair. She's been in The Fifth Estate a couple of years back, Seventh Son last year, and of course a leading role in Testament of Youth with Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, and now Ex Machina. So yes, things are looking very bright in her life as far as that goes, and The Light Between Oceans is another one. So yes, things are looking up for her career. It's a little story, really. There's not a lot of super special effects at the beginning. We just see this very nice secluded Scandinavian designed place. It has all these rooms. There's no real windows, so there's no real light. It's all very artificial, pretty much, except for the kitchen area. He's shown to his room, Domhnall. He has a pass card, which, through facial recognition, gives him access to some places it will, other places it won't. Red means yes, green means go, that type of thing. You get the idea. Now, of course, he's introduced to the AI Ava, who is the slender and beautiful Alicia Vikander. Thing is, he's been told he will be testing her. And that's what, of course, Nathan, the big boss, wants him to do, the Turing test, to see if Ava has any consciousness of her own, has any personality. Just basically, yes, the manipulations as such commence. Without going on too much, I think we can tell where this is going, that the director himself wanted to say, look, about a threesome in a way, and not with so much sexual aspects to it. But he said it's really about three people pitting their brains against each other. And he says it's about how they test each other, they try to defeat each other mentally and form allegiances with one another. So it's a little bit like Big Brother. I know that sounds terrible, but just hold your imagination and suspend it for a little bit. A little bit like a very classy, very intense and very twisted Big Brother. You won't be disappointed, I think. Not at least with that initial tension that is built between the three characters, and especially not with the sensibility and the feeling of the mood of the film. You will not be disappointed for the psychology that lies behind it. It is quite accessible in that respect, and it's very smart. Like, you know, it's a very smart tech film and thriller. Very psychological for a directorial debut. It's incredibly sassy and very, very polished. Now, the thing that really stood out for me in this film is about the paranoia. It brings brings forth all the concepts and themes of paranoia about AI and computers in general, and how people really don't trust, humans don't trust technology, or at least that's what Alex Garland is trying to tell us, that we don't trust technology, that we won't leave our lives in charge of it. I think we already do, don't we? Just about everything we do is technologically based, and somewhere there is a computer running it or driving it. So look, interesting concept. I know it's been done before, but maybe give this film a chance. The paranoia is still there and behind everything in it, and it's the characters and the performances of people like Alicia Vikander that actually give it the weight that this film wouldn't have got, I guess because of a limited budget. I'm just saying that it's done very well and very polished and with such ease because the performances do drive this little AI film. I'm not saying little in a bad way, but it's ambitious, but it's little, if that makes sense. This is something you could put in your pocket for a rainy day and get yourself to think about the philosophy and the ideas of what is technology? What if we made these artificial humans? And what if they were better than us? What if they have the ability and potential that is greater than ours? And what if they do understand those concepts and they are conscious? And what if they can make up their own minds? Does it make them dangerous? Will it mean they become hostile and aggressive? Will we trust them? And if we don't trust them, why? Well, we made them. So it's not our fault, isn't it? It is our fault. We design these creatures, if that's what we call them. So it does remind me a little bit of maybe this is under the, you know, this is the prequel to Under the Skin, a film that came out last year that just blew me away. I was just amazed by that performance, particularly by Scarlett Johansson. Another little film you could put in your pocket and save for a wet long weekend. Perhaps this is the future. If Under the Skin is she is an alien that comes to Earth, she seems kind of androidous as well. There's some technology aspect to her. Well, maybe, just maybe, Ex Machina, she gets out, spoiler, and maybe she goes and reproduces herself, making copies of herself, and goes to outer space. You see what happens? When people make movies like this, my imagination just runs away with itself. Look, I think good on DNA Films. It's a masterclass, certainly, to pick up and run with a story like this. It's ambitious, it's got big ideas, but it's done in a little effective way. There are some loose ends there that didn't quite match to do with the escape as such, but at the end of the day it gives a good story, again one that should be studied and looked at. It reminded me of Source Code a little bit, and even Moon, made by of course the son of that man David Bowie. His name's just doesn't register at the moment. I recommend this film because I think it is challenging in many ways. It could have got really dark and horrific. There's some horror aspects in there for the horror fans. It could have got really, really dark. It could have gone off the edge, but it doesn't. It holds back with some sense of even hope, and you're kind of really pleased at the female, spoiler, gets away, but at the same time you're kind of wondering, she's quite evil, isn't she? But she's only as evil as we make her, and she's only as evil as the men that created her. And that also brings up the topic and idea of sexism, the idea of misogyny, and what happens when we take it to that next level with artificial intelligence. Lots of questions aren't answered in this film, and that's a clever direction. I think what Alex Garland is doing is pretty brilliant, and for him to direct it when he's never done it before is also, he's pretty sus. You know, this is the man whose debut novel was The Beach back in 1996 when he was only 26 years old. That was made into a feature film by DNA, by the way. And of course, then he worked on Sunshine 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later. So look, this guy's got... he's got the mana, he's certainly got the shtick to do it and pull it off. So I'm hoping that many people see this film, and of course, apart from the brilliant cast, who are awesome, there's no doubt about it, this is going to be one of the breakthroughs for them, particularly Alicia Vikander. And of course, I have to say, the amazing. I think she's one of the best characters, to be honest. The character played by the marvellous Sonoya Mizuno, incredible and silent, but that's about all the spoilers I want to give for that. There's some wonderfully funny that shouldn't be funny scenes, including a disco moment of a dance number which will just take your breath away. It is so awful, but good on you, Oscar Isaacs, giving it a go. And actually, he's not bad. He's a bit of a sexy beast, but he's a bad man. Yep, the mad scientist. There's that trope. Corruption, power, agreed. A doomed, ambiguous malevolence that you feel throughout the whole film. This terrible dread, which makes it more of a horror film than a sci-fi, I guess. It does remind me of 2001 a little bit, the old HAL or H-A-L 2000. What really is this artificial intelligence? What is she up to? And she's a she after all. So why bring sexuality into it and gender roles? Is that relevant? I think it might be in today's world. And I think, you know, it may fit perfectly into where we are with the gender war that seems to be apparent now, in my opinion, and the things that are going on, the evolving, the changes that are going on between all the sexes and all the gender diversity. So I would say see this film for that reason, see this film for where technology may take us, and see this film for the performances. They are damn brilliant. That's what I'm going to say about this wonderful film out by Universal, taking a gamble. They haven't done that in a while, so it's good to see. We're film 4 in DNA. Good on them. So it's out just at Nova, May the 7th. If you've got a chance to see it, certainly do. And be wary. I think more dangerous is these big multinationals than perhaps an AI. But I could be wrong. Look, there's a little bit of Terminator in this with low budget and a lot of sass and a lot of class and a lot of forest. And a lot of Norway, which isn't such a bad thing. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam and Sonia the Squeamer with my little review on the film that could. Ex Machina, I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. Yep, you heard it here. And this was full of spoilers. You're listening to Sonia with her review of Ex Machina on Joy 94.9.
It's when a human interacts with a computer. And if the human doesn't know they're interacting with a computer, the test is passed.
And what does the pass tell us?
That the computer has artificial intelligence. Are you building an AI?
I've already built one. And over the next few days, you're going to be the human component in the Turing test. Because if that test is passed, you are dead center of the greatest scientific event in the history of man.
If you've created a conscious machine, it's not the history of man. That's the history of gods.
It's a comic. It's not a comic. It's a zine. It's not a zine. It's Joy Zine. Joy Zine. It is going to be an amazing thing.
What is it?
What's it about? What is a Joy Zine?
Find out soon.
More details will be released through Sci-Fi and Squeam
on Joy 94.9.
It's a Joy Zine. Joy Zine. Joy Zine. Zine.
Handmade.
DIY. Comics, cartoons, artists, creatives,
poets.
Poets, writers. Joy Zine. J-O-Y-Z-I-N-E. It's not a comic.
It is a comic.
It's not a zine.
It is a zine.
It's a Joy Zine. Find out more.
What it is.
And why.
And you can be in it.
All you have to do is stay tuned to Sci-Fi and Squeam
on Joy 94.9
to find out more about Joy Zine. Joy Zine.
Supporting Joy.
Keeping us on air with a zine.
It'll be so much fun.
Joy Zine. Joy Zine. It's a comic.
It's a zine.
It has poetry. It has writings.
It's all a matter of perspective.
It's queer. It's a queer zine.
It's a queer zine.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeams.
Queer Geeks of Oz.
Joy Zine. Joy Zine. It's a comic.
It's a zine.
Stay tuned to Sci-Fi and Squeam to find out more
about our Joy Zine.
Coming soon. And you can be involved.
Yes, you can get into it.
You can draw. You can cartoon.
You can do comics.
And you need to be in our Joy Zine. Joy Zine. It's a comic.
It's a zine.
Make a zine. It's not a comic.
It's not a zine.
It's a comic.
It's a zine.
Joy Zine. Zine. Zine.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hello, boy. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
You can find more Joy
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 casts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.